This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Front Row and a Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng. I suppose most of us have and can muster a mental image when someone says digital art. We can imagine pixels rushing in from different places and then coalescing to something visual, colorful, kind of like pointillism. But because we have such sophisticated technology, we can hardly see the separation between the dots. Digital videos, digital sounds, they are something similar. But what happens when digital art marries culture? As part of the Georgetown Festival, there is a digital art and culture festival being held. But what does that entail is something I'm not so sure about. And a sister and brother co-directors of this festival, Susie and Fairuz Sulaiman, are here with me. And they are with Yap Saobin, the curator for the program called The State of Ebb and Flow in the Festival. Welcome, folks.
Thank you
very much.
Very much for having us.
When I say digital art, I have something quite specific in mind. What does digital art mean to you?
We started off this idea in 2011. And the term digital art, well, was still quite novel at that time. People were talking about it as if it's another thing. My brother Fairuz, a few weeks ago when he did a presentation, mentioned that digital art has now sort of merged into contemporary art because everything we do is already digital. Now in 2015, we're actually talking about this kind of digital environment that we are in it, we're already in it, but it's so part of our life that we can't distinguish the difference already.
So if I were to point to something, what would I be pointing to say this is digital art or this is an example of digital art?
I think it's not the tangible, it's not the physical look of it, but it's actually the conversations or the ideas or the issues that are brought about this digitization.
I'm a bit stumped by that definition, simply because when I think of digital, I think in terms of technology and where everything is measured down to some kind of a precision that we cannot find in the analog world, right?
Correct.
So when you say it is something intangible, I get lost.
It's everything what you just said, because when we talk about digital, then we also have to talk about the contrast, which is analog. When we talk about technology, we also have to talk about what is non-technology, what is not having technology. This is my opinion, what we mean by digital, because if you get a chance to come to Digital Festival this year, you will see that not all works are digital-based, because there are conversations between this field. When we talk about high technology, no technology. When you talk about analog, there's non-analog. So this is the conversations that is brought about the idea from this digital, that's the area.
I think the layman term for digital art has changed from then until now. I think 2011, when we came in and thought about this festival, we looked at all types of art that was media-based. Yeah, our festival looks at digital technology, but the marriage between digital technology, arts, and culture, I think that becomes, that's where the line blurs so much, where when you point to something and you want to say this is digital art and culture, is it this or is it that? That would be a difficulty in that kind of aspect in defining that. I don't think we have the intention of defining what is and what not is digital art. When we invite other artists to be part of the festival, they have their own definition of what digital art is or what art is and what culture is as well. For this year's festival, the differentiation between digital art and culture has gone to a point where it'll be very difficult to point, you know, which is digital art. Because 4 years ago when we had it, you can tell, okay, this is digital art because it uses a projector and a laptop to project video onto a building, okay? But if you do it this time, you'll be saying, okay, it's just a visual. This is art, you know? So that definition for me is not something we are trying to define. It's just for us to explore what can be done through digital art or technology with the context of culture, the context of heritage.
I think the idea is not to prescribe what digital art must be or can be, but how do we bring that kind of artistic practice using a certain digital or analog elements and what we can do with it, how we can change the artistic experience. That would be more interesting.
Why is the word art in that title singular as opposed to arts? So I would think of digital arts and culture. But why just digital singular art?
Wow.
I'm just Thank you for asking. I'm trying to get my head around what this is.
Wow. Cool. To be precisely honest with you, Suning, I don't know why there's no.
No, because
art,
we wanted it to be DAC, so it looks cool as an acronym.
Well,
no, it can still be
arts,
DAC.
Yeah. True. 5 years ago, when we were looking at the logo also and what the title was, it was very simple. We were looking for a place, and generally we are all artists. I mean, the producers themselves are artists, so we don't have any really good background with production. We're pretty much artists ourselves. And what we wanted, the idea of DAC was to just to have a playground for us to push our talent forward, because at that time most of our artists were actually industry people, academics, and they never really got a chance to push their talent. So what Fyrus and I did, we worked with Baran Warisan at this time, was to actually gather funds and investors to kind of give each artist a certain amount of money to push their idea. And if they couldn't find the right technical help, if they couldn't find programmers, we supplied the programmers to them. We give them the projectors. We give them the technical backup. Actually, DAC started off as an incubator for artists who we believed had some talent but needed an extra push with technology.
Were the artists coming from the industry, meaning that they were graphic designers, or were they artists who kind of worked with brush and paper and then you got them to use technology?
Yeah, correct. Exactly. Both of that, actually. So we had, in 2011, we had some established artists, one of them being Kung Yu and Hoi Chong. You know,
Hoi Chong and Kung Yu.
They have done work related to media and technology in the past. But what we did was we gave them a set of tools and also staff as well to help them create works that could not have done without this help, you know, projection, stuff with sensors, stuff with, you know. So these kind of works were made possible because we, well, in a way, married this visual artists with programmers and people from the multimedia side. But there was also artists who were trained in animation and multimedia but didn't have the funds or didn't have the time or the right brief to give them a platform to create a work where it was, you know, in a bigger venue or a bigger space, you know. So we try to cater for both types of people, you know.
I mean, traditionally, the guys who do the graphical kind of work for the commercial side, we tend to see them not as artists but as designers.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm.
So when you brought in culture, suddenly I assume these folks have to kind of position themselves slightly different, or that we, with the word culture thrown in, we look at their work as saying something specific about our culture as opposed to trying to sell a product. Right?
I think it's also interesting that if you want to take in, for example, someone from the industry as an advertising or graphic, I think it relieved them from the commercial purpose in a sense. I think it gives them a different thing. Maybe it's a return to their calling. To make creative work, right? to engage culture. 5 years ago, I wasn't part of the team, so I was very much an observer, and this year I was invited, thanks to Susie and Fyrus. What I think is important is that the project as a whole is not just about investigating what is digital art or arts, but how to bring a kind of digitization technology into a kind of cultural investigation, into a kind of a cultural exploration. And in this case, both times the event takes place in Georgetown.
Why Georgetown? We talk about UNESCO listing heritage sites. Malacca is the other one.
Right. Mm.
Yeah. Why Georgetown?
Why not Malacca? Okay. Well, practically because 2011, we managed to do our project in Suffolk House, a UNESCO Heritage Building, because of our affiliation with Badan Warisan Malaysia. So Badan Warisan actually sponsored the site for us with the help of Lawrence Low. And he basically gave us the platform, which is, wow, I mean, a UNESCO building for a festival, you know, that is really rare, I think, you know. So to have a digital art festival in that building, I think that we're very honored to have that opportunity. So it has always been Georgetown since then because of our familiarity with the space. My connection with Georgetown has always been about, you know, a time when Malaysia was much simpler and when Malaysia was less complicated. But with the UNESCO heritage listing, it actually has brought Georgetown to a different kind of level of, the whole masterism, you know, some people say it's bad and negative, but I think for us as artists, I see a lot of interesting things there, actually. You know, how street culture has become a culture now in Georgetown, you know. So nobody has, in the context of Malaysia, seen street art as something serious or seen street art as an art form, you know. So now we're looking at that, using our festival, looking at street art as a form of, you know, is it art? Is it not art? Is it supposed to be in galleries? Is it supposed to be in public spaces? Blah, blah, blah.
In fact, many of your projects are about that at this festival. They're all very much out in the streets, out in public spaces, as opposed to within museums. Mm. Your comment, Susie, you made a comment on your website saying that Suffolk House was the place you guys used for your first exhibition,
yes,
and that it belonged to Baden Warisan.
It belongs to the state government, managed by Baden at the time.
But now...
No, it wasn't. So, I think last year we went back to the Suffolk House, and it was kind of like a bittersweet return, because actually at that time Baden was moving out, and they discovered that they were not making money from this heritage, the tours, you know. And the thing was, the building was... It was an investment by the Penang state government, so they needed to make sure that they had returns. So now it has been converted into a high-class restaurant. I mean, that's just one of the many case studies, but I think what it shows is that Georgetown is at a position where they want to move forward. They want to have this kind of global setting, but at the same time, they don't want to let go about their past.
Hold on to that thought. We'll come to that. Okay. Susie and Fairuz Sulaiman, sister and brother co-directors of the Digital Art and Culture Festival, together with Yap Saobin, who curates one of the projects. Coming up, we'll look at the exhibits, installations and projects that are being curated under the festival's umbrella. And we'll talk about, not Cornucopia, but Culturetopia.
Culturetopia.
Yeah.
This is Front Runner Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. You're listening to Front Runner Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng with three people who are involved in the Digital Art and Culture Festival, which will run up in Penang as part of the Georgetown Festival 2015. Is your festival celebrating the culture or decrying the mercantile culture as manifested by its aggressive development up there and the rapid rise of housing costs?
We understand that conversation, but at the same time...
You're not taking a position.
We're not taking a position, correct. We want to just present to you different narratives. And we also want to tell people that, hey, there's not just one history, there's not just one timeline. There's multiple histories, and there's multiple narratives that work at the same time. That's all we want to do.
It's too complicated to have multiple histories.
Politically also, if we talk about politics, I mean, just from a producer standpoint, Penang state government has always given us the freedom to express ourselves, that stated in the contract, because they understand that when it concerns art, it should be freedom of expression. And I think that's one of the other reasons behind Fairuz's explanation of why we do in Georgetown is also the attitudes of the local councils and, of course, the local government towards art. They really give us free roaming in terms of ideas.
Some breathing space.
And that's really, really helpful. I mean, money we can find, hopefully. But to get that kind of attitude, especially from top government officials, is really rare, especially in our country at the moment. For practitioners like us, just saying that, okay, you can do anything you want, you know. And we said, what if our artists say something against you guys? Are you okay with that? Yeah, you know, we don't want to get involved. This is your expression. When they say that, actually, it gives us a certain sense of responsibility. The responsibility is thrown back to the artist to be a bit careful and to understand and to respect things, you know. So it kind of works the other way instead of just like blatant banning and censorship, you know.
Now, you have your festival, and your festival has under it Culturetopia. I see the word culture, and topia would suggest utopia of sorts.
Exactly.
Yeah. Utopia of sorts, or space for culture. I think in this way, it's not necessarily just celebrating. I think through the discussion when Susie and Fairuz and together with our fellow curators, we were talking about what do we want to do with DAC, and then they were inviting us to come and think about what else can be done with Georgetown in mind and with the place in mind. And we are not just celebrating the place or
mercantile culture,
but we are actually talking about what are the cultures there. Mm-hmm. Whether it's artifacts, stories, phenomena that we can evoke through the artwork, that the artists who are based in Penang or from the north, or artists coming in from Taiwan and Japan could respond to, could find out. I think this is the kind of topia that we want to celebrate, a cultural topia, a place of different cultures we want to celebrate.
How many projects are going on at the same time?
For our festival this time, we have, I think, about five, I think, or six.
Okay, never mind. Can be? We'll talk about them so that our listeners will have a sense of what they might expect when they go up to Georgetown to see. Let's start with Hari Ini Dalam Sejarah.
Wow. Mm. Well, Hari Ini Dalam Sejarah is actually, I'm co-curating this with my friend and my partner in Taiwan, Ricky Chang. So he's from the Digital Art Foundation in Taiwan. It's actually 90% international artists, and they will be coming into Penang to produce an on-site installation. And Hari Ini Dalam Sejarah is actually this term from the TV program in the 80s, as well as also looking at the words where it's overlayer of this day in history, looking at the present to look at the past, that overlaying of time. Ricky and I were giving the brief to the artists to look at history, but from a different perspective, maybe looking at from space, looking at from time, from that perspective, trying to create a narrative which is based on spatial dynamics. Yeah.
Have you seen any of the works that have been completed and get ready for the exhibition?
Well, the thing is, because DAC works like an incubator, like what we said earlier, and mostly all of the works that you will see will be catered and made specifically for our festival. So it's not like most festivals where they kind of borrow the work and they pitch it and they put it there. Actually, we also don't have... We're not sure what it will look like. So we're really...
There's a lot of research and process coming from the artists and as much as from the curators. So in the sense of we are researching on the artists that we can work with, the curators we can work with.
Right.
And then the artists themselves would find it interesting that they want to come into the space to this specific city to research and do something with that.
My understanding that in this project, though, it's specifically targeted at getting artists from outside of Malaysia to do this work.
Not really. Like, I think going back to 2011, we've always, Faris and I, we've always been very biased to Malaysians because we believe that there's a lot of Malaysian talent that just needs a little bit of money to push them. But at the same time, we don't want to create all these kind of local heroes. We need to bring in, international artists to kind of set the standard. I'm not saying that we don't have any standard. It's just good to have comrades all over the world and come in. Interestingly enough, we've gotten artists interested to join us, and they were willing to bring in their own funds, flying from their own countries to come in. And we had to actually put a stop on it because we wanted to keep a 50-50 balance. It was already going beyond that. I think there's greater interest from international artists. When we said we're having the show in Georgetown, would you like to come? We're going to give you a 2-week residency. You can work and live with people. And they all said yes, and don't worry about money. We'll find it ourselves, which is totally different, a totally different attitude from the locals.
So this is going to be site-specific at a certain intersection between what roads and... It will be there for the duration of the festival.
Yes.
And then what happens after?
It's lost in memory.
Are all the exhibit transient and, a bit ephemeral this way? Maybe ephemeral is not the right word, but a bit transient.
Yes.
Yeah. As installations tend to be. Yeah.
There's a time element, especially when the work which is based in the public space on the street, right? Someone might paint over it and remove it, and that's part of the... The situation, unless you want to create a monument.
Right, exactly.
But with monument, it actually has something different. It's about state, it's about power, it's about authority and eternality within that. This kind of ephemerity, a temporal existence of this kind of practice.
Now, Faris, I understand you are responsible for Warung Wayang.
So that is exactly what you said about ephemeral. Our works are all ephemeral, especially that Warung Wayang project. We are building a small warung, bicycle-powered warung. It's like a mobile becha, mobile burger stall, mobile, it has a projector and a pair of speakers on it. And what it does is it goes to specific spots in Georgetown, certain walls, certain facades, and we commission, I think, about four artists, each artist to create a specific work. animation work, video work, projection work that we will project onto that specific wall. So we have about 4 or 5 sites. So for every night, well, almost every night of the festival, we will have a walking projection historical tour.
It's like a mobile cinema.
Yeah, it's a mobile cinema projection.
Yeah, like the old times when you're that kind of a...
Exactly.
During movies.
So that's kind of the mobile
cinema.
You mean you guys are old enough to remember that?
Listen to stories. Listen to stories, of course.
I have never seen one.
I've seen it in books.
Oh, yeah. I come from Seremban. I remember seeing those in late 70s. I'm that old.
Okay, so I'm trying to relive that memory that I don't have, you know what I mean, by creating these works. So these works are only going to happen during the festival. So once the festival is over, we will have a documentation of the work, and it will be exhibited in a Penang State Museum. But other than that, if you miss the 2 weeks, one week it's there, then you'll miss it. So that is kind of the purpose, I think, for Warung Wayang, is to create works that are anti, you know, gallery kind of works, but the works that require your physical presence at a certain time, a certain space, to be there to experience it, rather than...
So it will not go on YouTube so that we can all see it and send it around virally.
You might have... There'll be a documentation of it on YouTube, but the work requires you to be at that spot, in that space, in that environment, you know, in the traffic, with the other upper people walking around.
Or the tourists walking around.
The tourists taking pictures. That is actually part of the show,
the,
you know, not just the visual on the screen on a, you know, a 13-inch monitor. It's supposed to be physical, and you're supposed to be present there.
Yeah, what would that do to the viewer seeing it on the phone, which we are kind of accustomed to, or even seen on a monitor, as opposed to seeing it on a wall of a building with people walking around?
Yeah, because my issue is, I always been a proponent of experience, you know. I really believe that if you want to experience a theater performance or a dance, there's no point recording on your phone and watching it back home, rather than as opposed to watching it in real life. You know, there's no way real life can be any less HD than a handphone. So for me, it is very important to have it in physical. I mean, as opposed to watching, in simple terms, watching theater and watching a film. You know, you're watching a movie, it's played back, you know, you can play back as often as you like.
You can pause,
you can forward, you can go to the toilet and come back. But theater, if you're watching it, you miss, you blink, it'll never be there again, you know. So this kind of the Warung Wayang is in a way like a theater performance, you know, street performance, you know, as opposed to a cinema in, you know, TGV or GSC.
Well, in a TGV cinema, you still have the hole if you want to finish the movie, right? If it's 3 hours movie, you don't and you go away and you miss that 10 minutes of important part.
But you can still go back next day though.
Well, you have a Bible, right? So I think because the virus practice has a lot to do with his research on and wayang kulit as well. So I think the kind of live performance and experience is very vital in that kind of environment. What we should also pay attention is because it's very specific in a certain spot in the city.
Yeah.
And if you follow the warung when they move from one place to the other, you are actually walking along on that street as well.
Yeah.
I think that will be a totally different thing. It used to be we go and look at that, look for the chow kui tiao and whatnot. But now you're following to look at the performance.
Do you think people are conscious of what's happening?
Like, I think that's just enough. as good enough.
That's the whole thing.
I think the next level is if they want to question that, say, why do I enjoy that? Or why didn't I enjoy that? That would be interesting for them to think about.
Come to the forum.
Right? Do I want to watch it on a YouTube? You know, it's a very different experience. So why do we want to talk about this experience? This is where we talk about digital art plus culture. This is where we think about that.
There you go.
Sabin, you're responsible for a state of ebb and flow.
Yes. State of ebb and flow, actually, I'm working with three artists. Two of them are based in Penang. One's Penang Knight, Okui Lala, also Chiu Win Chen. And B.B. Chun, who's actually a graffiti artist. He's from Ipoh and then been in KL for a while. And then he moved to Penang before the whole mural art was a boom in the Penang tourism. B.B. Chun, who's actually a graffiti artist. He's from Ipoh and then been in KL for a while. And then he moved to Penang before the whole mural art was a boom in the Penang tourism. But B.B. Chun has been there for a while. And the other artist is Shafiq Abdul Samad, who's actually studied at USM and now he's based in Kedah. This project is basically just inviting artists who are based there to examine or to look at the changes of the place, okay, the energy that has changed in this place that they are familiar with, hence the play with the state of ebb and flow, the changes, the flux.
And how will they manifest their ideas?
Okay, Okuilala has been researching on migrant culture in her home state of Penang and Georgetown. Since many years back, I have been following her project, and she's actually looking at, for example, the Burmese and Bangladeshi worker. But this is not about the kind of like hardcore, tough issues, but it's about celebrating the culture of how this migrant community has been here for a long time. And if we understand the history of Burmese migrants coming to Malaysia, it's not just the last 10, 20 years, 100 over years, and there are different waves, for example. And if you look at Penang, there's a lot of street, Burma Road, things like that. This is true Okui's research, and she finds that very interesting. So how she's going to manifest, you have to come and see. You know, that she is introducing or something that we are familiar with, for example, tea. Okay, and how the Burmese cuisine actually eat tea salad, not just drinking tea, but tea salad. So she's going to bring in both this part, for example, the history of these different communities, and also the road and the road sign, the maps and things like that, and make it into kind of a performative installation. Whereas Shafiq is actually a visual artist who works with a lot of programming, and this is your hardcore digital artist if you're looking for. He actually writes his own apps, and this app is actually capturing visuals from our environment, but the rhythms and the changes of colors, it depends on the sound. So Shafiq, in a sense, is a very formalist artist, that he's actually taking all these things and then turning it into kind of visuals. But the visual is actually affected by the sound, which means that the changing ambience and environment. There's a certain interactive element when he uses it to record the environment, or people can interact with that. Bibi, as I said, the graffiti artist, street artist, he knows the street inside out. He was telling me, oh, who owns the street in the daytime, who is it runs the street at night. And then he knows the different little things. And the artist who work in that environment, he travels, he walks, and he pay attention to all different things, what he could actually pick up, what kind of corner he can do a little interesting mural or artwork and things like that. So in this way, these three artists come together, tell us about the place, the changes of the place, whether in a macro way, historical way, or matter in the small little things. So if people start thinking, say, hey, actually, I noticed there's actually a lot of other Burmese name as well.
Well, in my town, there's a place called Burmese Pool. Not a swimming pool as in like a built swimming pool. Mm-hmm. It's just like waterfall and then, you know, right. In the part of the natural, but it's called Burmese Pool. Mm. So you have two other projects. One is called Transient Penang and one is Sonic Artifact. I suppose they have similarities in that they are works of art with some could be installations. But Sonic Art, if I assume it's going to be just all oral, as in A-U-R-A-L.
Yes. Sonic Artifact is curated by Mark Wai Ho. He's the director of Soundscape Records. And one of the things that Faris and I noticed for 2011 was that we did not focus too much on sonic art, on the audio or the audio journeys. So we invited Mark to come in because of his expertise and his experience in the indie music scene. He came up with this brief where basically the artists that he selected would produce a small cassette tape based on field recordings of the...
Cassette tape?
Yeah.
That's old technology, yeah. I think.
Yes.
Not digital at all.
Yeah, cassette tape. We're producing limited edition cassette tapes, but they're actually based on compositions or music compositions made by artists who went out and did specific field recordings of Georgetown. So they will be collecting sounds of Georgetown and composing them into soundtracks. So this is what Sonic Artifact is. Instead of visualizing things, you're collecting the environment through sound.
You have a very short time period up in Penang, right? Friday, August 7th through Sunday, August 16th, a little over a week.
Yeah, that's right.
And once it's all over, people will not get to see these things.
Well, we have a gallery space, exhibition space in Penang State Museum, McAllister Road. That will be on for the entire duration of August until the 1st of September. Some of the exhibitions that we mentioned will be there during the whole period. Some, like the Warung Wayang, for instance, will be documented and parked there for the rest of the remaining 2 weeks. So, like you said, it will only be there for a certain period of time. But I think that is our
the more they should go during
that. The more they should go as well. Yeah. That's one.
So if Penang get a peak traffic during that time, it's not our fault.
But also, I think the idea of our festival is supposed to be like this. I think it's meant to be the kind of works that can exist outside a physical space, it can exist outside the gallery, you know. So the documentation work is going to be very vital for us. Yep. We will make sure that it will be enough to cover, I mean, as close as possible as to experiencing in real life. But of course, it has to be seen rather than in real life than on the monitor.
You have to replicate it in KL or something like this, a similar festival.
Totally different animal.
Yeah.
Can I just say one more thing? What Faris is saying, that we will have the exhibition on for a month. It's from 7th August to 7th September. The installations from my section, Hari Ini Dalam Sejarah, will be there for a month, including my installation. And there will be a screening room with all the documentations, not just Warung Wayang, but also the state of Ebb and Flow. And all the forums and workshops will be also held at the Penang State Museum on Macalester Road. So they're set point where we also invite artists to discuss, critique, analyze as well. So our home base will be in the Penang State Museum.
The Georgetown Festival begins Saturday, August 1st and runs through the end of the month. There are a lot of activities being organized, theater, musicals, walks, art and photography, exhibitions, food fairs, etc. As part of this Georgetown event is the Digital Art and Culture Festival, which will run for a week from Friday, August 7th till Sunday, August 16th. It is themed Culturetopia, offering several programs including installations, mobile cinema, exhibitions, and more. Thank you, Susie Sulaiman, Faru Sulaiman, and Yap Saobin. This is Front Row on a Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.